Okay, would you mind standing? Let's ask the Lord to bless this other half. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the Sabbath day. We thank you for brothers and sisters that you've brought here that we didn't even know were alive, but you did. Lord, there's people all around the world, Lord, thousands of people now that know about your commandments, know this is your holy day. We just thank and praise you. Teach us something new today that we didn't know, Lord. Show us your holy word. Take away anything that's incorrect, anything that's added or diminished since we've been on this planet. Lord and God, we pray you'll extract it from us. We just want your word, holy God. Bless and anoint this teaching. Let it be for the edification of the body. Lord and God, let it be to the glory of the living God. We give you the praise in the mighty name of the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, for anyone who does not know who we are still one and Messiah congregation. And in Hebrew, that is Kahal Echad B'Mashiach. Kahal Echad B'Mashiach. Okay, got that? Okay. That's our P.O. box, okay? That's the P.O. box if you ever want to write us a letter. if you need it later, we'll give it to you again. That's a website. Tomorrow, we have a radio broadcast that we're on every Sunday, Lord willing, at 3:30, and it's on 1300. So if you're in Tennessee, just go to 1300 on your AM dial. Or if you're not in Tennessee, you just copy this link right here, and you could just put it in your web browser and should stream.
You need to add a link onto our webpage.
Yeah, I'll put a link on the webpage where you can look at it. Okay, next, please. I do want to just bring up today's the 28th, but at the same time, this is the Gregorian calendar. If anyone doesn't know what the Gregorian calendar is, that means we all in America here, and most of the people in the world, we use the Gregorian calendar, which is Pope Gregory. So whether you're Catholic or not, subliminally, you're still using the Catholic calendar. Pope Gregory from the 1500s, when God has his own calendar in the Bible that no one ever talks about. We're in the fifth month of God. This month, for some reason, doesn't have a name to it, but I have a whole list of all the names of the Bible, I mean of the calendar, on my website. But we're in the fifth month of God. It's the 13th day. Now, you might say, well, that sounds weird. How, you know, fifth month, 13th day, what's up with that? Well, this is God's calendar, and this is Pope Gregory's calendar. Pope Gregory's calendar, you have to follow, unfortunately, you know, for your dentist appointments, doctor appointments, unfortunately, your job, that's because we live in this world called, this is called Arzot HaBrit, which means the covenant of the lands, or better known as the United States, right? This place is only like 230 years old that we live in, and all our ancestors came here from another country, everyone brought their paganism, so everyone, yahoo, anything goes here. Isn't it wonderful? But anyway, Judaism calls this month Av. That, I always teach everyone very simple, and I love that there's children here. A lot of times we have lots of children come here, and I love having them because Yeshua says, come as a child. And when someone gives you a big talk or a good big lecture, the first thing you want to say is, where does it say that in the Word? That's a very important sentence, even though it's so simple. Where does it say that in the Word? Once you learn that, you'll stump the scholars. You'll stump these people in academia, you know. Anyway, we're not going to go through this whole thing, but I do want to bring this one point up here. Today we're here because of this thing called the Sabbath. Now, I know most churches don't keep the Sabbath because, unfortunately, again, if you do the research, you'll find out the Catholic Church says, and I have the articles from bishops and popes, they say, we are the Mother Church. We have the power to change the commandment, and you Protestants will follow us. So guess what? Before any of us in this room here were born, back in the 1500s, you know, someone way back in our family used to keep the Ten Commandments. Just as time progressed, the Catholic Church is powerful. They said, you Protestants will follow us. We're changing the day. So the seventh day is gone now. The only people that might keep a little bit of is the Seventh-day Adventists, but they don't know about the Shabbatons, the seven holy days of God that are also in the Feast of the Lord that are considered Sabbaths. The Sabbath is very important because it's the fourth commandment. You know you know how every child knows there's Ten Commandments? Go try to find any church. This is my rule of thumb. If you could find any church out there, the first thing you want to find out is, do they keep the Ten Commandments? If they don't, they're off the list of holiness, because Yeshua says, if you say you know me and you don't keep my commandments, you're a what?
Liar.
Yeah, no matter how sweet they are. There's a lot of people that are so... one time the Lord showed me that there's people that are kind, gentle, sweet, and I was thinking, yeah. Then all of a sudden I thought, but they're not holy. Oh, there's a difference between nice and holy. You could be nice over here and believe in witches. But being holy means you're separate. Kadosh means you're sanctified. So this right here, when I was a Protestant minister for about 16 years, I never seen that word Sabbath 60 times in the Bible. 60 times. Is that enough times? So the reason why we're here today is because it's a commandment of God. Not because we just feel like being in a room that's yellow. I mean, this is the last thing I'd want to do. But we're here today because we're fellowshipping with you guys and people on the internet. And it rejoices my heart that people are actually keeping the fourth commandment today. We do not work from Friday night to Saturday night sundown. Not because it's Jewish. It's because God created it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. There was no Jews and there was no Israel. It's just a commandment of God. But I'm not going to make it sound so light, because the number 7 is very significant. And we rehearse this every month. I mean, every week. We come here on the Sabbath. We do this on a weekly basis. And the reason why, because the spring feast of the Lord, I don't know if anyone is familiar with the spring feast of the Lord. We'll talk about that. Happened in the spring, but then the fall feast of the Lord happened in the 7th month of God. Now, Judaism calls that month what? Tishrei. Now, the word Tishrei is not in the Hebrew Bible. Again, you have to go to the Bible and say, what is the name of the 7th month? It's called Ha'etanim, or Ethanim in the Bible. I think that's 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, okay? From what I remember. 1 Kings 8, 2. You can look it up yourself. So you say to yourself, how come nobody knows the name of the 7th month? Now, the 7th month isn't what Pope Gregory's saying. 7th month of God, it corresponds to maybe a September or something like that. But anyway, the reason why we're here today is because it's a commandment of God. And everybody in the book of Acts, okay, this is after the Lord died on the cross, rose from the dead. Everyone is still meeting on the Sabbath, and they're reading the law and the prophets. See? They read the law and the prophets. This is what they did. And you can read all this in the book of Acts. It's all on my website. Moses of old had in every city them that preach him. Okay? And not only that, Yeshua, Jesus himself, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and he read the prophet Isaiah. Okay? So this is what they used to do. However, it's been erased by the Catholic Church. And unfortunately, most people today, they haven't the slightest idea that there's a Sabbath. Do you realize most Christians go to church on Yom Rishon, known as Sunday, and that was known as sun worship. However, they don't even have a whole day of rest, right? They go grocery shopping, they cut the grass, they paint. They have like an hour and a half, they go to church, and then after that they go home and watch the ball game or something. I mean, there's no day of rest to the Christians. That's gone. The 7th month is very important because the spring feasts tell about the first coming of Messiah. The fall feasts indicate the second coming of the Messiah in the 7th month. And if you don't know about that, it's very exciting. And it's actually scary because you're pretty accountable if you do this. You rehearse the 7th day every week. You should start knowing about the 7th month because God is trying to pump something into our noggins. Anyway, this is one thing that I always bring up. I wanted to just go over this one more time. There's one everything. And there's one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one law, one ordinance, one cup. I mean, there's a whole list of ones, right? And go up, Carrie. The other way. Yeah. Look at all this. One king, one nation, one shepherd, one flesh. Did you know, like I said earlier, you guys didn't know this, but I'm related to you. Didn't you know that? You might think, well, I'm flipped out, right? Oh, yeah? Well, Apostle Paul says we're all from one blood. I want to double check. I asked before, is there anybody in this room not from Noah? Okay, good, because if you were, I was going to say you're from outer space. There is aliens. I bet everybody came here from Noah. How about you out there? Okay. Just want to double check. So we're really all related. You know, everyone is not that different. We're one blood, the Bible says. Okay. Now, here's the problem. Judaism and a lot of messianics and a lot of churches don't believe this. There's one law to the homeborn, the ezrach, or to the stranger, the ger, that sojourn among you. One law. In other words, there's one way to serve the Lord, one way to walk. It's called halacha, one way to go. Okay? And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but there's one law. Okay? There's not two ways to serve God. There's not like, this world made up like, I mean, right in this, where I live here in the Bible Belt, right around here, I think there's 7,000 churches. I think we did a check one time. There's 7,000 different Jesuses around here. Which one do you want? That's ridiculous if you think about it. If you actually sit down and think that over, you think, 7,000 different churches, why aren't they all together? What's up with that? They all, this guy, this church don't like this church, that church don't want to talk to this. I tried to get one time 10 ministers around here together. You should find out what, you should hear what they told me. I was like the Johnny come lately. This guy was mad at this person, this guy don't want to be in the same room with that guy don't want to talk to this one. And I'm thinking, well, what about, if you don't forgive your brother, God said he won't forgive you. They don't want to hear that. I said, see ya. Bro, it breaks your heart when you actually, as a minister, when I contact other ministers, you should hear what the stuff they say. Most ministers aren't going to keep the Sabbath. I'll tell you right up. It just happened again recently to me. The reason why most ministers don't keep the Sabbath, they all know about the Ten Commandments. I just want to let you in on a little secret. They know if they keep the Sabbath, they're going to lose their congregation. They know they're not going to get any tithes. They'll lose their job. If I, tomorrow is Sunday, right? If I was the Protestant minister, I got up and I said, okay, we're going to sing songs today on the first day of the week. It's nothing wrong with that. But you're supposed to keep the Sabbath on Saturday. The congregation will leave. Because that's when Satan set up all the sports, all the yard sales, all the... Nehemiah says if you buy on the Sabbath, it's evil. I didn't say it. Nehemiah said it. That's chapter 13 of Nehemiah, if you want to double check me. Starting on verse 15. Read that. He said it's evil to buy and sell on the Sabbath. I mean, we're talking evil. Now, the Sabbath is God's holy day. That's why we're here today. And it's very important because there's ten... What I'm trying to do is bring us back to the basics. There's ten commandments, not nine. Right? Okay. So that's enough on that. Now, we'll cruise down to the... Let's see anything else we missed. This is what we were talking about before, which was very, very, very important. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Very important. And that's lo tosefu al hadavar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem velo tigru mimanu lishmor et mitzvot Yehovah Elohechem asher anochi mitzaveh etchem. So you say, boy, that sounds, what is that? Well, it's the same as that. And the reason why I'm suggesting the King James Version is because that matches that. Okay? That's how simple it is. All the other versions are, that's another whole song I could tell you, but we're not going to get into that right now. The main thing our congregation wants to do is we do not want you to add or diminish from the Word. That means when you go to a bookstore and you see like thousands of books, they added to the Word because there's 50 books on the book of Revelations and they're all different. Well, how could that be if there's one book? If you think of, you start thinking about Judaism, there's libraries to blow your mind. Catholicism has gazillions of books. They would shock you. They've added so much to the Word. I'm not writing a book. I'm not. If you go to my website, all my studies are scriptures. Yeah. I'm not. My commentaries are very, very tiny. I mean, you know, I even hate the saying thing because, you know, why? One day, me, you, we're all going to stand before the Lord and Him too. We're all going to stand before the Lord by yourself, yeah, with no one there, and you're going to have to give account. That's the most frightening thing. You're going to be judged according to your works, the Bible says. So if you don't have any works, you better start doing something. You're going to be judged according to your works. Really, that means everyone should be able to do something for God. Keeping the commandments and telling people the truth would be one thing to start off with. It says right there, it says in Proverbs, every word of God is pure. I love that. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Very important. Nowadays, if you go on websites, I tell this to all the people all the time. You ever go to my, you go to my website, everything's free. I will never charge anyone for anything of God. Never. See that little basket over there? That's for tithes, not to me, okay? It's to the Lord. That's between, if you have a 10 cents, it's between you and God. We will never take a penny out of there and spend it on us. God forbid. It's for the Lord, it's for people that don't have Bibles. We send things to people all the time. That's what it's for. We will never, ever. But what I'm trying to get at is, where does it say in the Bible you're supposed to sell? Anybody know a scripture? Where does it say you're supposed to sell teachings of God? Do you ever see a verse that you're supposed to sell praise music? Oh. How about, did anyone ever teach? They have schools now you could teach how to heal. They have schools you could teach how to be a prophet. Where does it say that in a word? They have schools, I mean, that actually, where does it say that Isaiah got a revelation from God? He's shocked, and then he comes over to you and says, "You want to hear my revelation? That's $29.95. How would you like if I wrote a song, and I'm feeling the Spirit of God, and I'm rejoicing in, of God, right? And I call you up and say, "Penny, hey, you want to feel the Spirit?" And you go, "Yeah, send me $15.95. I'll send you a copy." Would you? I mean, does that? Where does it say that in the Word? David, how about David in the Psalms? He could. How about the Song of Moses? He could have made a fortune. Miriam, she did the dancing over there with the tambourine. She could have made a lot of money. How about the apostles? They were sent out to do miracles. They could raise. How much could you get for raising the dead? How about healing the blind eyes? I mean, seriously, how much? You could probably get a lot for casting out devils, couldn't you? But God forbid, because Peter says, he told that one guy, he said, you have no part or lot in this matter. Right. You're evil to think that the things of God could be purchased with money.
Especially the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. He thought laying on hands, he can buy that from them. They would receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said, basically, you're wicked. Anyway, so the customs of the people are vain. And here's what we're trying to teach everyone. Learn not the way of the heathen. You might say, well, who's the heathen? It's the people that don't adhere to the commandments of God. People that don't... I got people in my family I call heathen because they reject serving the Lord. They think it's just like out of style, it's out of date, it's not popular, it's not in fashion, it's not... whatever you want to call it, it's just not them. It's just not me. I say, well, if you stand before God, let me tell you a secret. Anyone who comes to you and tells you God spoke to them, if they're not like trembling or very humble and very... If somebody comes and says, well, you know, God talked to me last week and I got a message. Yeah. If you go look up the people in the Bible who God talked to, Daniel, David, they all fainted. David said he feared God so much his flesh quaked. Moses was so frightened of God. Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Apostle Paul said that. But nowadays, you got everybody, well, God talked to me last week, and, you know, pass the mayo, you know. Believe me, it's not like what people think. In the Bible, if you read Daniel, he was sick. He said his cogitations, his thoughts troubled him, and he was sick many days, just like, oh, knowing the stuff of God. It's just like shocking. But anyway, next. I don't want to go through a lot of this. Okay, there's a famine for the word of God. We know that. Okay, that's in Amos. The mystery of iniquity is definitely going on right now. Okay, that definitely sounds Catholic because Tisha B'Av right there. I want to show. Go up to the Rachel part.
I don't think we went to the Rachel yet.
Yeah, we did Rachel already.
Did I press it?
No, it's down. It's down there. Okay, this is. Okay, there it is, right there. Okay, so who we got? In Judaism, they got people just like Mary. Go down to the next verse. They got okay. Check this out. The Midrash is explanations and talks about scriptures. and they wonder why Rachel is buried in Bethlehem when all the other patriarchs and matriarchs are buried in the cave of Machpelah in Hebron. The Midrash explains that all Jews were being exiled after the destruction of the first temple. All the matriarchs and patriarchs petitioned God that the exile should not be permanent, but some of them succeeded.
These are the dead ones.
Now, these are talking about dead people. Listen to this. Now, check it. Now, tell me if this doesn't sound Catholic. This is in Judaism, in the Talmud. Rachel then argued that when she was set to marry Jacob, her father Laban plotted to switch her with her sister Leah. Rachel could have sabotaged the plan, but chose not to do so as not to embarrass her sister. God agreed that the exile would not be permanent because Rachel's unselfish act?
Where does it say that?
Where does it say that in a word?
And Joseph prayed to his mom.
Joseph? Poor Joe, man. They made Joseph. Joseph. They got Joseph talking to the dead here. He's, please save me. I'm innocent. Save me, he cried. It says, be not afraid. Praise the Lord.
Shabbat shalom, shabbat shalom.
I love y'all.
God bless. It says, be not afraid. It says, he heard his mother's voice answer him. Now, this is talking a lady from the dead. I can't even, this sounds so Catholic to me. So I'm pretty sure that Catholicism came from Judaism, okay? Anyway, that's what this is all about, and you could read that. You can read that on my website. I don't want to go through that again. But let's go to where we left off. How's that sound? I don't want you to get you dizzy, okay? Okay. Go up a little bit, please. Yeah. One thing I do want to show people, go up to the rabbi thing right here. Right here. Okay. This is very important. There's no rabbis in the Tanakh. You ever hear the word Tanakh? Okay, that's just an acronym for Torah, Nevi'im, and Kutuvim. And that's what they are. Tanakh. There's the acronym, okay? There's no rabbis in the Tanakh. So I always ask people, these guys with the big long beards and the books, I know why they got big long beards and books. Because they don't have the Son. And the Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. So you end up with a lot of beards and books. They replaced intellectualism. They replaced the Holy Spirit with intellectualism. Now here's a verse everyone should write down. Matthew 23, be not ye called rabbi. Now, Yeshua the Messiah said that, okay? It says, for one is your master. See the word master? Even Messiah, Christ, you're all brethren. Now, there's only three men in the Old Testament, or better known as the Tanakh, that have the title Rav. You ever hear of Rav Shaul? They call Paul a rabbi? That's ridiculous. Paul is not a rabbi. The word Rav means here it is right here, chief magician. This guy's called Rav Meg. He's a soothsayer, Rav Meg. He's a Babylonian origin. You see that? Now, if you want the verses for me to prove this to you, you go to my website. I have a gazillion verses to show you all these verses, okay? The other guy is called Rav Sheka. He's also a Babylonian official, okay? And the other man is called Rav Sa'er. And there he's a Babylonian official, okay? So in other words, there's only three men in the Old Testament that even bear the name Rav. So you might say, why are these guys running around called rabbis? When Yeshua said, don't call anyone a rabbi. Well, that's pretty easy to answer. They want to be your master. Matter of fact, just like the Catholic Church tells people, you don't read the Bible, come to me and I'll tell you the answers. That's what the priests say. In Judaism, they tell you the same thing. Also, in most religions, there's always somebody that says, come to me and I'll tell you the answers. I tell you, go look in that Bible over there and find them out. Look it up yourself. You know, isn't that a little bit different? Right. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, one thing we do, we need to educate and teach the churches, and probably anyway, on a few of these topics, and there's too many to list. I didn't want to list them all, okay? We need to educate the churches that God has his own calendar. Does everyone in this room, or does anyone here not know that God has his own calendar? Anyone never heard, or everyone heard of that, right? I don't know if you have or not. Now, God's new year, when is it? In January 1st? No. God's new year is in the spring, around March or April. Now, if you think about it logically, think about this for a second. What happens in March or April? What happens outside? What comes alive? All the blooms and everything starts coming alive, right? Rebirth. Symbolic of the resurrection, symbolic of your rebirth, symbolic of everything comes to life. Pope Gregory's got us trained doing New Year's in January when everything's frozen. Which one do you like when you think it over? Think it over slow. And to show you that this is biblically sound, what you do is, here's the name of the month, Nisan, of course, right there. B'chodesh harishon hu chodesh Nisan. So we see that. Go up, please. It says... Now here's how you prove to people. Like if you see me in April, I'm going to go Happy New Year, and you're going to go, I knew that guy was cuckoo, and then I'm going to say, well, excuse me, shlachli bavakasha, I say come to Exodus with me, chapter 12, verse 2. Mm-hmm. Now we're all brainwashed believing Pope Gregory, unfortunately, but God says this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It's the first month of the year to you. And when you read the whole chapter 12, it's about the Passover. And then if you go to the next chapter, which I think we might have it right here, Exodus 13, verse 4, the name of this in your Bible is called Abib. In Hebrew, it's Ha'aviv. Ha'aviv. So when you see that, I did a whole teaching on that, but that has a very beautiful meaning. It's talking about the beginning of they say the barley, the beginning of something. And the word, wait, go back up here for a second. If you see this right here, you know, this is the Av, you know, and this is like, it's a whole teaching. I don't want to get into it because it's too exciting for me to tell you a couple of words. All I'm telling you is, this is in Pope Gregory's April or May, is God's New Year, which really makes sense because when you look out the window, the word Abib or Aviv is synonymous today with the word spring. You know, in Israel they have something called Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. That means hill of spring. That's what that means. So when the word is synonymous with spring, when you look out the window and everything's coming to life and you start feeling better and everything's starting to grow and you're like, that's really God's new year. But we're so used to doing it in Pope Gregory's when everything's frozen and dead. It's not new. Everything's dead. It's frozen. January is freezing. And then here's the whole but here's God's months. God's first month is called Nisan, and then it's also called Ha'aviv, which has another whole meaning to it. So that's the first month of God. I'm not going to read all this to you because it'll take too long, but I do want you to go on my website. Go back up to that for a second. I do want you to understand the verses are really here, okay? There's Exodus 3. This is on my website. You can always print it out. So if you get on the website and click on it, there's the first month of God, Ha'aviv, and that corresponds to our April, okay? Okay, next month, there's the second month. The second month is a month you never heard of. In Hebrew, it's called Ziv, second month. And there it is right there, Ziv. Okay? That has so there's the name of the second month that nobody ever heard of. Think about that for a second. No one ever heard of the name of the second month of God. Think of that. Really consider that. You know all the months that, like this, all the months that we use, all these names? If you ever look them up in an encyclopedia, they all come from pagan gods, pagan origins. All the days of the week come from all pagan stuff. But we're so used to doing it, like we're drowning in paganism, and nobody cares. The reason, like you might say to yourself, what is the big deal anyway? Who cares if it's called July or Nisan? Or who cares, right? Well, this is God's. This is pagan. This tells you when the feasts of the Lord are, not the feasts of the Jews, the feasts of the Lord that no one's been told about. This one tells you when Pope Gregory's having his feast. Yahoo!
Angel, did you talk in here about when the new month starts?
I don't know. The new month... We do,
you know,
yes.
Yeah.
That's another whole story. I'll talk about that in a minute. This is the second month of God, and that's 1 Kings 6:1. Okay, you can look that up yourself. The third month of God is called Sivan. It's right in the Bible, right there. You see it? We're in the fifth month now. There's no name for the fourth, fifth, and sixth month. Okay, for some reason, I have my own ideas because these are the months when the temples were destroyed. It was very horrible. Judaism calls it Tammuz. See that word Tammuz? It's only found in Ezekiel right here. It's a pagan deity. I would never call a month of God after a pagan deity. Does that make sense? Would you call a month of God after a pagan deity? I wouldn't. So I'd rather say this month has no name. It's safer. The sixth month, I can't really verify this Elu because it doesn't really, I can't figure this out. It is in the Bible. I can't tell if it's the sixth month. It might be. I know for sure the word Av is not in the Bible. Even Judaism admits that. They know that it comes right from Babylon, okay? The seventh month, there it is, 1 Kings 8:2, is really called, which you never heard of before. In Hebrew, it's called, here's what it's called. It's called Ha Etanim. And that's another whole study right there, which is very important because he's the first and the last forever, which I don't want to get into. See that Aleph is the first letter, Tav is the last, and Im it means forever. He's the first and the last forever. But that's another whole study. I hate to get into that right now because it's so beautiful that, but nobody knows the word Etanim.
That's why
Tidden
is connected with another name.
Etanim is so important. Because he's the fountain of living waters, the flowing streams, it means. But nobody knows that. I mean, now this month is called Bul, okay? Here's how you say it, Bul. It's not Bull, okay? It's Bul. And that's another whole, that's the eighth month. Now this is right in your Bible. So you might say to yourself once in a while, how come nobody knows this in school? Or how come no one's taught the months of God? Why? These aren't the months of... these are the months of God. They're not the months of, like, I made it up. It's in your Bible. Okay, that's the eighth month. Next. Ninth month is Chislu, or Chislev, I should say. Okay? That's in the Bible. The tenth month is Tevet. Okay? That's in Esther 2:16. Remember, I'm going fast here, but this is definitely on the website. You can just... read it slow in your own house when you get home. You can just click on my website and the whole thing is there. Here's the 11th month, Sabbat, okay? And there's the 12th month, Adar. And the reason why we put two Adars, you want to know why there's two Adars? Because if you don't have that leap year every like 3 years or so, pretty soon you'll be having Passover in the winter, which don't make sense. So when you do the, you know, you do your chronology of the months and stuff, and you calculate 3 years. If you don't have a leap year, you can't do past the new year in the winter. That would make sense. So the leap year does make sense there. So the calendar of God, you might say, well, I mean, okay, so I haven't done the calendar of God my whole life. Big deal. I'm still okay. Yeah, but you didn't do the feast of the Lord. You didn't know about the first coming of the Messiah, and you definitely don't know about the second coming of the Messiah that has to do with the months of God and the feast of the Lord. I mean, the spring feast, Jesus came perfectly, right on the money, perfect. Right exactly on the V14, he died. He was taken off the cross or the tree, and he was before the Sabbath. He was put in the sepulchre on the first day of unleavened bread is a Sabbath, the 15th. He did exactly what took place here was foretold here thousands of years ago. He did it exact. So when you know the fall feasts of the Lord, the fall feasts of the Lord haven't happened yet because we're still here. So I'll give you a little scenario. The reason why we do the Zichron Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets, the memorial of blowing the trumpets, Judaism turned it into Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, that's ridiculous. The seventh month isn't the beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. The seventh month isn't the head of the year. That's ridiculous. Judaism made up four New Years. And then other people in Judaism have five New Years. But I don't want to confuse you with all the Judaism stuff. If you go into Judaism, you'll be so mixed up because they got all kinds of things going on. They got reincarnation. They got transmigration of souls. They got Tanya, praying to the dead. They got stuff that blow. I sneak in there and sit nice and quiet. And I think to myself, am I in like a satanic... it's so not of God. It's like, well, then I realize the Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And if you don't have the Son or the Father, the most you can have is intellectualism and a big beard and books. And maybe a long robe. But there's no spirit. And they say things that are so out of it. Some of them even sound pretty cool, actually. But then what's the sentence you have to learn? Where does it say that in the Word? Yes. That little "where does it say that in the Word," it might sound like insignificant. It blows away the big speeches. Anyway, we need to educate the people about the feasts of God. You mean God has feasts and I haven't heard about them? What are you talking about? I thought they were Jewish feasts. Did you hear these were Jewish feasts? They call them the seven Jewish feasts. That's not true. If you go to Leviticus right here, what does it say? Look what it says. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Jews? The feast of Moses? No, the feast of the Lord. It's the Moedei Yehovah. That means these are appointed times. These are appointments of God. He wants to meet with you. Which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, the Mikra Kodesh. Even these are, God says, my feasts. Moedei. They're my feasts. See, the churches always say, those are the Jewish feasts. No, they're not. These are the feasts of the Lord. Doesn't that sound different? Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations. You shall proclaim in their seasons. We're doing that right now. When the feasts of the Lord come, we're proclaiming them. We're putting ads in the paper. We're put signs up. We're proclaiming the feasts of the Lord. I mean, nobody knows about it. They think we're just Jews, you know, gone cuckoo, gone wild, you know. But, like, we build a sukkah in our backyard. Somebody thought I was playing camping. I said, I'm not camping out in my backyard. If I was going to go camping, I'd go somewhere else. What I'm trying to say is, it's funny, but at the same time, nobody knows about the feast of the Lord. We're not talking about the feast of anybody else. Right now, everybody's doing the feast of the Pope Gregory. They got everybody doing Easter, Christmas, Halloween, St. Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day. People just can't wait to get smashed. They think of any kind of thing to... Those are all pagan. Those are have nothing... They're not in the Bible. They're not in the... Where does it say that in the Word? Anyway, next, please. So these are the feasts of the Lord. So when I heard about the feasts of the Lord, my mind went like this immediately. I said... Feast of the Lord. I kept saying to myself, Feast of the Lord, Feast of the Lord. Feast of the Lord? Feast of the Lord. How come nobody knows about the Feast of the Lord? How come we don't know about the Feast of the Lord? What's up with that? The spring feasts were fulfilled by the Messiah, this Passover. When did Yeshua die? Okay. Yeshua died, we would estimate, somewhere on Thursday, about 3 o'clock. You can look at that from Matthew. Just think, there's a billion and a half Catholics. They can't count to three. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning. There's no way, even if you count it on your toes, you can't do it from Friday to Sunday. That means, think about that. There's a billion and a half people that haven't even bothered looking it up or counting. Anyway. So we estimate somewhere on Thursday, remember the deliverance from Egypt from bondage. Everything that you see here, remember, everything you see in the Tanakh is happening in the Brit Hadashah. So it's like, even though it's like thousands of years apart, it's perfect. Okay? Okay, a lamb was selected for each family and 4 days. Check this out. In the Tanakh or Old Testament, they took a lamb, they examined it for 4 days, right? They made sure there's no spot or blemish on this lamb. Yeshua is the sacrificial lamb who died for our sins. Mm-hmm. Remember when he, on the 10th, he went into Jerusalem? And they said, the Lamb of God, you know, they were throwing palms and everything. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Then after that, they examined Yeshua for 4 days to make sure, to find fault in him. Yeah. Yes. But of course they couldn't. Anyway, that's what this is all about. So Yeshua, he dies on the 14th. I'm not going to read all this to you because it's on the website. And on the 15th, now here's the 15th. I want to show you something that's very interesting. See this 15th right here? You have your Bible on you? Turn to Luke 23:56. Okay? Now, Most Protestants, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Most Protestants ministers will never, never show you this verse. They'll never talk about it in any message. They will never discuss Luke 23:56. Okay, what does it say? What does it say? Who wants to read it? It says what? After the Lord dies, they put him in the sepulcher. And what did they people do? They what? 23:56.
But a certain maid.
That's 23:56. Luke. Yeah. It says, and they went and they prepared spices and ointments, right? And what did they do?
They returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
They rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
And guess what?
And that was the 15th of... It wasn't the Friday night. It wasn't the Saturday Sabbath. It was the first day of unleavened bread, which is a Sabbath too. That's why it's called a high holy day. There was two Sabbaths in a row there, okay? All I'm trying to say is, but even though we're talking about the 15th Sabbath, even that verse by itself, even not knowing it's the first day of unleavened bread, you'll still never see a Protestant minister quoting that verse. You know why? It says Sabbath, it says rest, and it says commandment. And he'd lose his job if he brought that up. I already know that. I had a minister just a few months ago said, he said to me, he goes, I know what you're saying is true, but he goes, but the senior pastor said he can't say that because he'll lose his congregation. We just got this building.
And didn't he preach against the Sabbath the week before?
Yeah, but then
that's what he said.
So it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not done away. It's a commandment. No one can change it. Okay, anyway.
It's a great thing.
Well, anyway, that's what happened on the 14th. Next. So here's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We do that. We have we eat the unleavened bread. And one day I was in my house trying to get all this leaven out of my house. You know what leaven is? You guys, ladies, should know that. Yeast and stuff like that. So I was in my house, you know, getting all this leaven out of my house, trying to figure. So then all of a sudden I stopped and I thought, what am I doing? What is this? Am I cuckoo? Getting all this leaven out of my house. So then all of a sudden I got like this thought came to me and says, oh, as much as I'm trying, leaven is symbolic of sin. So as much as I'm trying, going out of my way physically, trying to get leaven out of my house, I should be trying to get sin out of my life. Amen. On a daily basis. Amen. Then I realized, oh no. See, the Apostle Paul says first comes the physical and then the spiritual. So every time we do something physical and you go, and I'm doing all this stuff, and you go, what am I doing this for? Try to understand the spiritual message God is trying to give you. Like Apostle Paul says, it says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? No. But for your sakes, he's told you this. Mm-hmm. And he says, he that plowed in hope should get a reward. And it's talking about ministers are supposed to get honor. It, not talking about cattle so much. But, you know, you can read the whole... Yeah, there's a physical and a spiritual. Anyway, so this unleavened bread is so important because it's one of the feasts of the Lord. It actually says it's a feast of the Lord for 7 days. You're supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. And you actually do this. And it's leaven symbolizes sin. Unleavened bread speaks of the sanctification. God told the Jews to cleanse all leaven from their houses and eat unleavened bread. Now, one thing that might be hitting your mind, you might be going, well, this is for the Israelites, right? Well, we read before, there's one law to the homeborn and to the stranger. So when you join the Jews that believe in the Messiah, you become as the homeborn. There's no difference. You become not spiritually Israel. You become part of Israel, period. And if you read Ezekiel chapter 47, it actually tells you, you even get an inheritance in the land. It says that. Read that. Ezekiel 47. Nobody ever reads that. Read the end of that. You'll say, wow, the Gentiles are going to get inheritance in the land? Me? Well, praise the Lord. Well, that's just talking about also, you're also going to get an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven, the real promised land. Praise the Lord. But anyway, this unleavened bread is right there. Next. I'm not going to get in too much detail. Now, you've got to remember, here's Jesus, Yeshua. I'm going to do this real quick. I want you to check this out. Watch this. Over here, they kill the lamb. Over here, they kill Yeshua, right? I want you to watch this. Okay, this is Old Testament, New Testament. Over here, they kill Yeshua. Over here, they kill the lamb. Over here, they take him. Over here, it's the next day is the unleavened bread. Over here, he's put in the sepulcher. Okay. Then 2 days later, right here, over here, it's the first. It's called Hag Bikurim. It's the first fruits unto God, where the priest waves the fruit. He waves the sheaf before the Lord, thanking the Lord for the crops and everything. Over here, Yeshua raises from the dead. He's the first fruits unto the Lord.
Amen.
So it like everything that happened here, he's happening here. And you're thinking, well, no wonder why we're supposed to know about the feast of the Lord, because it's all pointing to the Messiah, right?
Yeah.
I'm giving you this in quick, because I know we have a whole video. We'll give you for free if you want it. Anyway. So that's the feast of the first fruits, okay? Yeshua raises from the dead. Okay, keep going, please. That's the verses that prove that. Now, here's something that's, I don't understand why even the Christian churches don't do this. 50 days from the waving of the first fruits, 50 days later, is when God gave the Torah on Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. 50 days from the resurrection of the Messiah is what? The giving of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts.
Pentecost.
50 means, Pentecost means 50, correct.
Feast of weeks in the shadow of.
Yeah, it's the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. It says, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. Shavuot is just plural for weeks. Pentecost is Greek for 50, where the Holy Spirit empowered the believers. These are the four feasts and the holy convocations represent the second. Now, this up there, these up here are the spring feasts, okay? Now, we do those in memorial because this is talking about our Messiah that died for us, right? Now, these right here are the ones you should really be knowing about because in someone's lifetime, and I don't know about mine, but in someone's lifetime, these are going to happen for really, really going to happen. Just like the flood. You know the flood? Remember that flood? A guy called Noah? He told these people that God told me to build this ark and there's going to be judgment. You repent of your sins, get on the ark, which is symbolic of the coming Messiah. This is the only means of salvation. Get on this ark, right? He preached for 100 years. Nobody got on. Now, I don't know. Somebody might have helped him for 30 and died. Somebody might have helped him for 50 years and died. I don't know that. But I mean, only 8 people got on the ark, right? 8. Yeshua says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Like you might say to yourself, well, Jesus, what are you talking about? I'm watching Trinity Broadcasting. That other guy on TV's got a stadium full of people. What are you talking about, Jesus? Few there be. Well, how many of those guys are keeping the Ten Commandments? Let's just start with that. They don't even know about none of this. They don't even know about the Feast of the Lord or the calendar or any of this kind of these things I'm discussing. They don't even know the simple things, the Ten Commandments that anybody should know. But the devil don't want, the devil, here's the devil, let's put it this way. If I'm the devil, right, and you guys are here, so I could almost bet I can't get you guys right here to go rob the bank with me, could I? Want to rob the bank this afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm the devil, I know that, I'll get somebody else to do that, right? So what I'm going to have to do is I have to figure out, Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, no blemish. Oh, I'll have to get a little spot on you when you're not looking. So there might be a little spot. Most people are not keeping the Ten Commandments. That fourth commandment is a big spot. He's coming back for a ecclesia, the separate ones,
called out
ones, with no spot or blemish. Now, there's going to be a lot of people saying, well, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And didn't I do this in your name? And didn't I do everything in your name? He's going to say, Jesus, Yeshua, is going to say, I never knew you. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? I fasted for 6 months on a high mountain peak, and I grew a beard down to the floor. You didn't do what I said. If you say you know me and you don't keep my commandments, you're a liar. Now, that's strong stuff, John. John the Apostle says that kind of stuff. If I say it, people hate me. I can imagine John, because he's the guy who wrote it. They must have really punished him. Anyway, Judaism again infects the Word of God. They call the Feast of the Lord, they call the seventh month of God Tishrei. So the thing you want to say is what? But if I said, where does it say that in a word? You come to find out that word is not in the Hebrew Bible. It's not there. If it was there, I'd be happy. It's not there. So they got everyone, if you get a Jewish calendar, here, I got a Jewish calendar somewhere. I got it somewhere. I got all kind of junk. I'm a researcher. I got tons of, my house is full of junk. But anyway, I got the Jewish calendar, and it says right on it, Tishrei. So look, this thing, I want to know my Hebrew roots, and I'm telling everybody it's Tishrei. I didn't look it up. I'm lying to you, because there's no such word in the Hebrew Bible. But the word that's in the Bible, Ethanim, they never use. And then they don't call this the memorial of blowing the trumpets. They call it Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. That means the head of the year. Think to yourself, we're talking about the seventh month. Mm-hmm. How could number seven be the head of the year?
It must be important.
It's got to be important. You know why? You say to yourself, right here, the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the feast in Ethanim, which is the seventh month. Look, it's Ethanim, the seventh month, right? This blowing of trumpets is really important. You know why it's called the memorial of blowing the trumpets? We come up with this thought. We were thinking one day, what does it mean? What are we trying to remember? The blowing of trumpets. It's Zichron Yom Teruah. What does that mean? So then we thought to ourselves, the first time we heard the trumpet blown was in Exodus, where the trumpet sounded louder and louder and louder, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. Remember that? The Lord came. The trumpet. So we're thinking like, whoa, that's why it's something to remember, because in someone's lifetime, whenever that's going to be, the trumpet will sound again. And the Lord will come back, all right? But anyway, this is the memorial of blowing the trumpets. This is why we do it every year. We do a memorial of blowing the trumpets. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's a new moon, okay? This is very important. And then we do this Day of Atonement. You know why we do that? Because if you think about it logically, let's say, like right now, I know my voice is loud and I'm probably keeping you a little bit awake. But let's say somebody jumps in here with a trumpet and goes, that's going to alert, like, you're going to, what's going on? Like, you know, right? It's going to get your attention. Well, that means when you hear the trumpet, something's going to happen. And you better be atoned, because if the Lord comes back and if you're not atoned, what happens? You get to go with him? I don't think so. So you want to make sure you're atoned. And the reason why you want to be atoned is because of the next feast we do. Watch this. That's if you want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. Okay? And that's why we do the Feast of Tabernacles. We do this every year. We build a sukkah and we explain to people, as our brothers and sisters in the wilderness were preserved and taken care of by God, we want God to sustain us in our wilderness called our lifespan. And we want him to tabernacle with us. But even more so, we want to tabernacle with him throughout eternity. So we rehearse the memorial of blowing the trumpets. We're getting ready. We make sure we're atoned and so we could tabernacle. Does everybody get those three feasts? That's the end. When that happens in the seventh, it's over. Okay, so these are the feasts of the Lord. Go back up there, please. Mm-hmm. Does everybody got these are the feasts of the who? The Jews? Mm-hmm. Jewish
no.
feasts?
No.
How about Feast of Moses?
No. Mm-hmm.
Feast of the Apostles?
No.
Feast of the Leprechauns?
No.
Oh, it's the Feast of the Lord! I want everyone to get that. See, the reason why I want to get these terminologies in your mind, because you hear people saying all the times, the Feast of the Jews, the Jewish Feast, the Feast of... It's not the Feast of the Jews. It's the Feast of the Lord. That's really important to get down in your vernacular or the way you speak. The Feast of the Lord are so exciting, you'd have to do them to understand them. just think, in someone's lifetime, this is really going to happen. I mean, for real. The trumpet is going to blast. Just like it was in the days of Noah. They made fun of him for 100 years. The flood did come. It did come. And they can prove it. Scientists can prove it. They found shale rock on the highest mountain peaks. And there's all kinds of things, ways they can prove it. There was a deluge story in every civilization of a guy on a boat. If you ever do studies on that. That really happened. And the Bible says, by that same word, the heavens are going to be on fire and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Peter says this, and he's quoting Isaiah. He said, and the world also shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be? Now, I'm not saying walk around biting your fingernails right now. But let's face it. If you knew today was the last day you're going to be on the earth, what would you be doing right now? Going fishing?
No.
How about watching Oprah? Okay. How about, would you be going to the movies right now?
No,
you'd be going full blast. You'd be knocking people out of the way to serve the Lord. You'd be going out there going cuckoo because you know, like, whoa, it's over. But nobody knows when our little scene is over. Nobody knows when we're over. Like I always tell people, this might be the last time you see me. It's nice meeting you. I'm hoping that I don't just give all this talking because I like to talk. I want my works to follow me. I'm making sure that it's on the internet. I want to make straight the way of the Lord as much as I know while I'm on the planet. Anyway, so we need to educate the churches about who shall participate in the feasts of the Lord. Who does it? Just the people that are in Israel or just Jews? No, everybody. Look at what it says right here. And when the stranger shall sojourn with thee, the stranger is the non-Jewish person. When you sojourn with us and you keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, let him come near and keep it. He shall be as one that is born in the land. You can't get any closer than that. You cannot get any closer than being as one born in the land. You become a part of the Israel of God. That's what I'm trying to get to you. And a lot of people never see this verse. They think it's only in the New Testament. He says, circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart. That's in Deuteronomy. People only think that's in the New Testament. God will circumcise thine heart. Isn't that nice? Praise the Lord. Okay, circumcise to yourself. It says, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Very important. Now, this is really important. Listen to this. A lot of people don't like this verse. In that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh to be in my sanctuary to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread. When you break bread and you communicate with people that are uncircumcised in heart and flesh, that eat the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of your abominations. Think of that. Think of that verse. I mean, if you think of that verse right there, like a lot of people say, well, that's just Ezekiel. Well, the 77% of the Bible that everyone threw away, that's all that Jesus had. That's all that Apostle Paul had. Apostle Paul wasn't reading Corinthians. He was writing a letter to them. Apostle Paul wasn't reading Matthew. It wasn't even written yet. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, if you think about it, when Jesus said to the devil, man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he said that, there was only Genesis to Malachi. That's called the Tanakh. Anyway, and you shall not keep the charge, it says, and you have not kept the charge of my holy things. That's really, that word holy is so important, kadosh. You have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith the Lord, no stranger uncircumcised in heart and in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary of the stranger that is among the children of Israel. This totally has been totally erased. Nobody even cares about that verse. Anyway, here it is right here. Corinthians, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, which is not taught anymore. So this one is really important. This one is very important because I could ask any Christian any day of the week. I asked this to two ministers recently. Who was the new covenant given to? Nobody knows the answer to that. And I think to myself, gosh, I thought you guys were ministers. Look what it says right here. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a what? A new covenant with the Baptist? With the Pentecost? Oh, with the Church of Christ? No. Who does he say he's making a new covenant with? House of Israel and the house of Judah. And guess what? It's not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. It's not going to be the ones that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Okay? So this new covenant is made with the house of Israel. Now you might say, well, that's, like you hear that, like most people say, that's Old Testament. Okay? I'm not going to read this part because you guys probably know that part. But guess what? If you go to Hebrews chapter 8, Apostle Paul, remember Apostle Paul? He's quoting verbatim. He says, if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second covenant. But finding fault with them, that's the people, he said, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Really? I thought it was made with the house of the Baptist or the Pentecostals or the non-denomination or the... Oh, you mean, I hear churches today say that they're the New Testament church. You ever hear that? That's ridiculous, because God made the new covenant, the New Testament, with the house of Israel. This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. And it's easy to remember. If you remember Hebrews 8:8, Apostle Paul is quoting Jeremiah 31:31. That's how simple it is. There it goes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay. In other words, there isn't an Israel and a church. There's just an Israel. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to anybody? I hope. There's one body, one Lord, one faith, one God. But not anymore. Now there's 50 Jesuses. Pick one. Spin the wheel. If you don't like this church, go to that one. If you don't like that one, go to this one. Right? Anyway. This is a lot of information. I know it is. It's just a lot for a lot of people to digest, because this is just a new covenant. Let's go down. Go down. I don't want to go take too much time on all this. The new covenant we already know is given to the house of Israel. And you know, if you join Israel, you become part of the Israel of God. That means you get the Messiah, who's the sacrifice of the blood of the new covenant, who's the mediator, right? And you get the new covenant. He's going to write the words in your heart. Right. It is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sins, especially forever. Wherefore, he said, when he comes into the world, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In other words, does everybody in this room agree that God can't die? Can God die?
No.
Okay. That's the reason why he spoke his word, and his word became flesh that could die and become a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. God can't die, but his word... You know, I was looking at that cross before. There's a cross out there in the yard. And I was thinking to myself, that's just like they crucified God's word, just like it is today. His word is crucified. You know, his word is just lost. And churches made up all these, like, entertainment to entertain you. Da-da-da. It's the Jesus show, you know. That's what it feels like when you watch TV. It's not like that. It's supposed to be done in a different sense. Anyway... Next. So this is where Apostle Paul, they're quoting from, right? Psalm 40. It's the same thing, okay? And it's the same thing. It's talking about the Messiah, right? In Psalm 40, I come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. And then there's an Isaiah. He said the same thing. God doesn't want a bunch of sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. He really wanted your heart. That's what he really wanted. Okay? God doesn't want you to do all these things if you're not going to do them right. I don't know if anyone knows about this. They're not bad. It's only bad if you do them wrong and you do them without the understanding, and it's just a joke. See this Rosh Chodesh, this new moon? That's how we tell when a new month of God is coming. And what that means is a new month of God, we look out into the sky there, we see a little tiny crescent, you know, there's the new moon right there. Once we see that in the sky, we say, ah, it's another month of God. And we keep, the reason why we keep track of the months of God, so we can keep the feast of the Lord. That's the reason why we do that. Because we're so out of practice knowing anything of God, all we know is pagan stuff, right? Okay, next, we need to educate the churches about keeping the commandments, right? And if you read, if you ask Christians nowadays, where are the Ten Commandments? Most people don't even know. They're in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Read your Ten Commandments, okay? You know what everyone should do? I always tell people this. Go home by yourself in the quietness of your home. You personally read the Ten Commandments with no one's opinion, no one's persuasion. Just sit there, you and God, read the Ten Commandments. And think about, which one am I not doing? Why am I not doing it? Maybe you need to amend something in your life. Because those Ten Commandments aren't changing for anyone. No matter if every minister on earth tells you there's no fourth commandment, he's a liar. I'm just being honest with you. They don't want to get fired. Most of these guys are making $150,000 a year, and they'll lose their big house.
Yes, and other things. Anyway, we ran out of battery energy here, so we're going to have to stop the study. I say praise the Lord to everyone. God bless you. And we'll pick this up on another tape, another study. Shalom and Baruch Hashem. Thank you for being here for the Sabbath. Thank you. God bless you.